And take a look at the latest sports this morning here on KJN in Major League Baseball action, a game you heard here on KJN last night. Kyle Loesch pitched six spotless innings and earning his 12th win, and the St. Louis Cardinals beat the Milwaukee Brewers 3-0 on Sunday night for a three-game sweep. Daniel Descalzo had a season-high three hits for the Cardinals, who have won 5 of 6 and 12 of 16. It was their first three-game sweep at home against the Brewers since March 31st to April 3rd of 2003. Loesch allowed four hits while throwing 100 pitches. He struck out six and walked three. The Cardinals wore their 1982 powder blue replica uniforms in celebration of the 30th anniversary of their World Series win over Milwaukee. Back then, the Brewers were in the American League. Hanley Ramirez lined an RBI single over a drawn-in infield in the ninth inning, and the L.A. Dodgers completed a three-game sweep of the Chicago Cubs with a seesaw 7-6 victory on Sunday. Sean Kemp walked Matt Kemp on four pitches with one out. And Andre Ethier's single put runners at the corners for Ramirez. In other Major League Baseball notes, A.J. Burnett shut down Cincinnati to go 3-0 against the Reds this season as Pittsburgh won 6-2. Also, in other National League play, Steven Strasburg scattered three hits and struck out six over six innings and drove in two runs to lead Washington to a 4-1 win over Miami. Chipper Jones scored the go-ahead run and drove in another as Atlanta topped Houston 6-1 to finish an 8-2 homestand. Slumping slugger Ryan Howard singled home the winning run in the ninth to give the Philadelphia Phillies a 5-4 comeback victory over Arizona. Also, Chase Headley and Yonder Alonso each had two-run homers, and the San Diego Padres hammered rookie Matt Harvey in a 7-3 win over the New York Mets. In the American League, Miguel Cabrera's two-run homer capped a stunning five-run rally with two outs in the bottom of the 10th inning, giving Detroit a 10-8 win over Cleveland. Also, Raul Baez homered and drove in three runs to pace the Yankees to a 6-2 win over Seattle. Taylor Teagarden broke out of a long slump with a RBI double in the 10th that led Baltimore over Tampa Bay 1-0. Pinch hitter A.J. Pierzynski tied a White Sox record by homering in his fifth consecutive game in Chicago's 4-2 win over the Angels. Adrian Gonzalez hit a homer and drove in three runs to lift Boston to a 6-4 win over Minnesota. A 10th-inning throwing error by Mike Ault allowed Jeff Francoeur to score in a winning run in Kansas City's 7-6 victory over Texas, and Toronto nipped Oakland 6-5 as Edwin Encarnacion hit a home run and drove in two. In Olympics news, defending Olympic champion Don Harper, American teammate Lolo Jones, and world champion Sally Pearson advanced to the semifinals of the women's 100-meter hurdles on Monday. Harper, Jones, and Pearson won their respective heats. Pearson had the fastest time in the seven heats, covering the distance in 12.57 seconds, the fastest first-round time in Olympic history. He was beaten in his own Olympic trials, but Usain Bolt came through when it really mattered. The world record holder captured his sixth straight gold medal in the 100 meters, blazing to an Olympic record time of 9.63 seconds. Bolt edged out fellow Jamaican Johan Blake, who settled for the silver medal. Blake beat Bolt in both the 100 and 200 meters at the Jamaican Olympic trials. The bronze medal went to 2004 Olympic champ Justin Gatlin of the United States. Sonia Richards-Ross has given the U.S. a first track and field gold medal of the London Olympics with a win in the women's 400 meters. Dee Trotter finished third to give the Americans a bronze medal as well. Double amputee Oscar Pistorius came up short of reaching the finals in the 400 meters, finishing last in his semifinals. The 25-year-old South African mounted a lengthy battle to win the right to compete in the Olympics, arguing that the carbon fiber blades he runs on don't give him a competitive advantage. Britain's Andy Murray sent center court at Wimbledon into a frenzy as the Scotsman used England's hollow tennis grounds as a stage for the host nation's celebration when he beat Roger Federer 6-2, 6-1, 6-4 in surprising fashion to capture the men's tennis Olympic gold medal. Serena and Venus Williams teamed up to win the gold medal in the women's doubles at the Olympics. The win came a day after Serena won the singles gold. The American sisters beat Andrea Havlovka and Lucy Radeka of the Czech Republic 6-4, 6-4. Michaela Maroney of the U.S. fell on her second attempt in the vault final to finish with the silver medal. Maroney was a heavy favorite after winning the world title last year and posting the highest qualifying score in London. Destiny Hooker scored 19 points to lead the undefeated U.S. women's volleyball team to a 27-25, 25-16, and 25-19 win over Turkey in preliminary pool play at the London Olympics. The U.S. men's basketball team is back in action at the London Olympics, taking on Argentina in a wrap-up to pool play. The Americans are coming off their first real test of the games and vow to be refocused after their 5-point comeback win over Lithuania on Saturday. And LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, and company are going to have to be. Argentina boasts NBA stars Manu Ginobili and Luis Scola, who are known for their physical play. A win for the unbeaten U.S. wraps up the top seed in their pool. Argentina goes into the game with a 3-1 mark, having lost to France. America's newest gymnastics darling, Gabby Douglas, goes for the gold again in the uneven bars as part of the individual competition today. She's already captured gold medals in the all-around and team competition. In beach volleyball, Americans Jake Gibb and Sean Rosenthal are scheduled to play for a spot in the quarterfinals against Latvia. The U.S. men have won three of their first gold medals since beach volleyball became an Olympic sport in 1996. Also on the schedule is the 400-meter final at the Olympic Stadium, a race that will be missing some of its luster. Defending Olympic champion LaShawn Merritt is out because of an injured left hamstring he hurt halfway through Saturday's qualifying heat. The coach of the Canadian women's soccer team has accused the United States of using highly illegal tactics during the Olympics. John Herdman says that some of the physical marking done by the U.S. players on corner kicks and free kicks violates the rules. Herdman said he hopes to raise awareness of the tactics to the game officials when Canada plays the U.S. in the semifinals on Monday. The Americans haven't lost to their northern neighbors in 11 years. Diana Taurasi's 22 points helped the U.S. women's basketball team recover from a slow start to crush China 114-63 yesterday. The Americans tied their own Olympic scoring record in the victory. Victory was the Americans' 38th straight in Olympic play and gave them the top seed in the group for the quarterfinals. Betsy Armstrong racked up 13 saves and Melissa Seidman scored 3 goals to power the U.S. past Italy 9-6 and into the women's water polo semifinals. In other sporting news, Jeff Gordon won the rain shortened Sprint Cup race at Pocono, moving into wildcard contention in the chase for the Sprint Cup championship. Casey Kane finished second and Martin Truex Jr. third. Officials at Pocono Raceway said one person is dead and 9 are injured after a lightning strike in the parking lot behind the grandstand after the race. Scott Dixon took the lead by passing Will Power and pit row on the 57th lap and then held on to capture his fourth IndyCar title in the last 6 years at Mid-Ohio. Power ended up second and took over the points lead from Ryan Hunter-Reay, who finished 24th. PGA Championship winner Keegan Bradley salvaged a par from a plugged lie in a greenside bunker on the final hole to win the Bridgestone Invitational. He held off Jim Furyk and Steve Stricker by a shot. J.J. Henry won the Reno Tahoe Open for his second PGA Tour title. And also on the Champions Tour, Bernard Langer charged from 6 shots back with a bogey-free 10-under-62 to win the 3M Championship. A crew of officials with college experience worked the Hall of Fame game Sunday night, filling in for regulars who are locked out in a labor dispute with the NFL. The New Orleans Saints scored on their first possession and beat the Arizona Cardinals 17-10. Drew Brees completed 4 of 5 passes on the drive, then took the night off. Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kevin Cobb left the game early with bruised ribs. Craig Ochoa was the referee for the game. He flipped the coin at midfield to start the game, then incorrectly announced the result to the crowd, saying that New Orleans had won the toss when actually Arizona had. Garrett Reed, the troubled 29-year-old son of Philadelphia Eagles coach Andy Reed, was found dead on Sunday in a dorm room at the club's Lehigh University training camp, where he spends most of his summers with his father. Police said the death was not suspicious and the cause was not or was under investigation. The coach's oldest son had a long history of drug problems and went to prison for a heroin-fueled car crash recently. I'll have more sports for you after this time out.
Driving down the road, no matter what the season, provides challenges and pitfalls. No matter what causes the damage to your car, Dana Cooper and Brown Auto Body can restore your car back to the way you love it. Dana Cooper, with over 30 years of experience in repair, will be your advocate with your insurance company to get the right repairs done quickly. Brown Auto Body also has rentals available, so you'll have a ride when your ride is getting repaired. Brown Auto Body, the place to go so you can drive down that road again. Brown Auto Body, 200 East 3rd, Atlantic.
Iowa State football players say they've been doing a lot of talking with their new offensive coordinator, and it isn't all about X's and O's. Cyclone running back Jeff Woody says Courtney Messingham has an approach that helps in learning what he wants done with the offense.
He'll joke a lot, and if someone does something, you know, like trips on a play or something like that, he'll joke about it. And if they're giving a lot of effort, he'll say that's okay. But he'll still kind of crack jokes about it. He just keeps the room light when it needs to be light.
Messingham replaced former offensive coordinator Tom Herman, who left ISU for Ohio State. Messingham says he's tried to foster the open approach on other issues because they spend so much time with the players throughout the year just focusing on football.
One of the things that we try to say from day one when we start recruiting someone to once they get here, and that is we're going to be demanding. We're going to expect you to do things right on and off the field, but we also want you to feel comfortable around us. We're around these guys too much all year long, and obviously during the season. They're in our offices all the time. They're in the meeting rooms. They need to feel comfortable coming into the office and not only talking football.
When it comes to football, Messingham says his approach to the offense will be much the same that it has been.
The average fan probably will say, well, I don't know if I see a lot of difference, because we're still going to be a no-huddle team. We're still going to be what people consider to be a spread offense. We're going to run the zone read stuff out of the gun. The major thing that some would say, well, how's that different? They won't see it, because the style is still going to be the basic same. We're going to run the football first. We need to be able to be successful running the football for us to do the other things that we want to do.
Messingham says he wants his quarterback as well to be patient.
I want to see him make the plays that are in front of him. That's probably the biggest thing, is you can't leave plays out on the field. If people are open, we need to throw strikes. If people aren't open, we need to be smart with the football and not turn it over. And if that means going and running, getting a four-yard gain off of a scramble, or if that means throwing it away sometimes, but being smart with football and taking full advantage of opportunities.
He says it's important to take what the defense gives. Iowa State opens the season at home against Tulsa on September the 1st. The UNI football team comes into the 2012 season with a big hole to fill on offense. The Panthers need to replace quarterback Terrell Rennie, who led UNI to Missouri Valley Conference football championships in each of the past two seasons. UNI head coach Mark Farley says there are four candidates for the job as the Panthers open up camp.
We'll start with Jared. He's the oldest. Jared Lanfear. Very headsy at the line, very accurate quarterback. Okay, good drop back quarterback. Sawyer Cole Morgan, a little bit stronger build to him. He's been in a spread offense his whole career, and he's very calm because he's called all his plays with a no huddle all the way through high school. Stephen Kaiser went to SMU as one of the top quarterbacks in the country. Didn't work out for whatever reasons, but he chose here because of his confidence and his ability and wanting to be part of a winning program. He wants to win. And last but not least is Justin Black. Justin chose as a young man to go from Michigan, transfer down to Florida to play at Barron Collier, and actually live by himself for that year while his parents lived in Michigan. And it kind of tells you the maturity he has to be able to do that as a young man, and that's the maturity that you normally don't see from a true freshman.
Farley says that all four of the quarterbacks have shown strong ability and leadership at the opening of fall camp.
I'm telling you, this is, I've heard the coaches mention it twice already after two practices. We have not, in our time here, had four quarterbacks that can throw the ball like these four guys can and make decisions that they make. And they're all young, too. Three redshirt sophomores and one true freshman, okay? And all of them carrying themselves like juniors, even the freshman does. Tremendous job in 2 days of practice.
While Rennie was much more of a run-pass dual threat, Farley says the Panthers will be a little more of a straight drop-back passing team, regardless of who wins the starting job. Farley says he's hoping to narrow the quarterback field by one player each week as the Panthers prepare for their season opener at Wisconsin. UNI opens the season on the road at Wisconsin on September the 1st. And the football coaches at Iowa State, Iowa, and UNI are all joining forces this year to raise awareness about the need for youth mentors in the state. Adam Lounsbury with Volunteer Iowa says there are over 3,000 children in Iowa on a waiting list for a mentor.
The idea of a mentor is to provide another positive role model in their life, and it's estimated that over 50% of kids would very much positively benefit from having another caring adult in their life.
The football coaches in Iowa are taking part of what's being called the Coaches Mentoring Challenge in a contest that coaches in Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa run in to see which state can recruit the most new mentors between August 1st and November 30th. Kansas won the challenge last year with over 4,000 new mentors. Iowa finished a close second.
We had a goal last year of 3,000 folks signed up, and that's not the same as matched and placed and, you know, people go through the process, but 3,832, so we blew away our goal, you know, for new recruits through this challenge.
The 2012 target in Iowa is to recruit 4,000 new mentors. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz, ISU coach Paul Rhodes, and UNI coach Mark Farley are taking part in a number of initiatives to help recruit mentors. That includes a letter signed by the coaches sent this week to high school football coaches,
asking them to join the challenge and help promote this locally and sign folks up at local football games and help any way they can. And as coaches, they know firsthand the benefit of, you know, as a coach, of the positive role model that they have had in people's lives. So I want to replicate that for others.
Iowa has more than 80 certified youth mentoring programs. The winner of the Coaches Mentoring Challenge will be announced in early December. You can learn more online by going to volunteeriowa.org/coaches-challenge. And that's a look at some of the latest sports here this morning on KJN Sports, brought to you by Brown Auto Body in Atlantic, where quality is no accident. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN Sports.